Good afternoon and welcome to TCC, Technical Coordinating Committee for the Core MPO. We'll start with approval of the agenda. Hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to look at the agenda. Does anyone have anything that they would like to add? Or does anybody have any reason that they want to take anything off the agenda? Any questions, comments? At this time, I will request a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Thank you, Mark. In a second. Okay, so that was Wycota on behalf of Melanie. All in favor, please say aye, or you can put it in the chat if it's easier. Aye.
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 Are there any no votes? All right, agenda is approved. Moving to the action items, the first item is approval of the October 21st, 2021 TCC committee meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to review those. Are there any comments or questions at this time? Hearing none, I will request a motion to approve the board meeting minutes. I'm sorry, not the TCC meeting minutes from October 21st.
So moved. This is Mark.
I'll second that. Wycota is already up, so go ahead.
Yeah, I reviewed all the minutes, so it should be accurate. A second.
Thank you, Wycota. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any no's? Okay. The minutes are approved. The next item is going to be election of officers. Mark, do you want to start us off with that?
Well, the bylaws call for election of officers at the last meeting prior to the beginning of a new year. So we need to elect a chair and a vice chair.
So we just need to open that up for nominations,
right,
at this time.
Correct.
All right. Is there any nominations for, let's start with chairman for next year. And you can nominate yourself if you'd like.
Just drop it in the chat box, folks.
Okay, we need a chairman, people.
Hey, hello. Well, this is Kayla. I am not nominating myself, but I am wondering for the, you know, rest of the group, can we just describe like what the tasks would be and the roles and responsibilities for each position?
Okay, so the chairman, as a chairman, all, you know, about the only thing I do is review the agenda ahead of time and kind of go through everything. And then during the meeting, you have to run the meeting. That's really the biggest thing. Anything else?
And of course, if as chairman, if the individual were not able to attend a meeting, that would be up to them to notify the vice chair that they would need to chair the meeting. So, I mean, the basic requirements are good attendance, running the meetings, being responsible for some potential decision making. If there's, a need to reschedule a meeting or have extra meetings, then, you know, the chair has a say in that. That's about it.
Yeah, it's not too time consuming.
Scott Allison put in the chat, are you willing to do it again, Pam?
Yes, maybe one more year.
Pam also, it's Scott also wrote in there that I was the worst at being a secondhand because I had conflicting other meetings often during these, and I'm trying to rearrange those, but I wasn't any help. So I apologize for that.
It's all right. Okay. Are there any other nominations? Anyone else at all? Anything in the chat? Do we need to vote then?
I think we do.
We still have to vote. Okay. So all in favor for Pamela Bernard being the chairman again next year, please say aye.
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 Okay. Are there any no's? Okay. Do we have enough votes there? Hopefully that one. Okay, so then the next one, thank you. I'll appreciate your vote of confidence there. For the vice chair nominations. Is Scott the vice chair right now, or are you Mark? I don't even remember who the vice chair is this last year.
I don't either, because your attendance has been so good it hasn't come up.
Okay.
It might be me, but I don't remember.
If it was me, thank goodness your attendance is way up.
Okay. I know it was you at least one year. I just you know, sometimes I don't remember.
But I think the reality, if you were not here and we couldn't have found the vice chair, I would have stepped in anyway.
Yes. So. Yes. Okay. So I would like to nominate Mark Wilkes for vice chair. Is there any other nominations? Anything in the chat? Okay. All right. Well, in that case, can we have a vote of confidence for Mark as the vice chair? All in favor, please say aye.
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 I accept your nomination.
Are there any no's? All right. There we go. Okay. Chair and vice chair. I think that's it. So thank you very much. Appreciate that. We'll move on to action item number three, which is the fiscal year 2022 UPWP amendment. And that'll be Mark, please, when you get a chance. He's making his way to the podium.
The proposed amendment to the fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program that is on the agenda today is simply to place the US-80 corridor study, which was previously endorsed by this committee and approved by the Core MPO board for CRISA funds, which is a COVID relief, one of the rounds of COVID relief funding that we have access to. We got a little over $2 million allocated to the MPO. It was decided to expand the original proposed study from the town of Pooler, instead of just being a study of US-80 roughly within the Pooler city limits, to make it a more of a regional study going from the Effingham County line to the terminus of I-516 and State Route 21. So I believe the budget with that increased to about $285,000. Yes, that's correct. And the proposed revised UPWP is also attached to the agenda. So this would simply be an amendment to move it from the unfunded illustrative section of the special studies portion of the UPWP into the funded section, just to make sure that we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's. And with that, staff is recommending endorsement to the MPO board.
Thank you, Mark. Does anyone have any questions about that for Mark? If not, at this time, I will request a motion to endorse the fiscal year 2022 UPWP amendments to the Core MPO board.
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead.
I seconded the motion. I don't know who made it. This is Melanie.
Melanie.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. Okay. All in favor then, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries and the item is endorsed. Okay, let's move on to item four, which is the draft fiscal year 2023 United Planning Work Program. And that will be Mark also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pam. In order to line the work program up for approval by February or March, I believe March is the requested deadline from GDOT for next year. We first need to review a draft with the Core MPO Board and Advisory Committees. That draft needs to go on to GDOT and Federal Highway Administration for a 30-day review. Staff then needs to go back, make revisions. We'll come back with the final document at the February meetings. We also have the opportunity, if we had a hiccup in the schedule, to come back in March as a fallback, but we don't have meetings scheduled in March. So we're going to try to adhere to the February adoption. The work program proposed for fiscal year 2023 is the year that begins July 1st of 2022. It is a continuation of the ongoing planning work program. So it's an incremental update. I'm going to just focus primarily on the budget table and a few of the highlights as soon as I can get to that. I didn't have time to make a slide today. Sorry, folks. So here we go. This is the proposed overall budget. It is actually based on the Section 5303 funding that we are just preparing to apply for. That schedule is a little bit ahead of the PL schedule. The PL funding is assumed level with fiscal year 2022, so budget is almost unchanged from the current fiscal year. We do expect that with reauthorization, there could be some changes in the budget, but it's a two-edged sword. Overall money is increasing, but are also it's formula funding based on population, so we'll have to see what the census urban area delineation tells us in terms of where we stand on a statewide basis in terms of our percentage of the statewide population, which will be the really telling piece about, you know, whether we get more money, get less money. It can go either way, but the main shift that we're proposing, as I mentioned, the funding level is pretty consistent with the current year. We have been administering our special studies. The project management tasks have been charged to administration. Being that the studies that we're doing in the coming year include freight, which is really under a different section of the UPWP, more under systems planning and operations. We're moving some of the funding to systems planning and operations that then out of administration rather into systems planning and operations. And I'm making the interpretation, again, this is the draft, making the interpretation that since the special studies that we're doing are actually, you know, semi-required documents, I should say, they're more, they're not requests of sponsoring agencies that are members of the MPO, they're actually more akin to our basic documents that we'll manage those, I'm saying, under task four. The other thing is that I am showing CRISA funds in the funding table for the first time, just for documentation's sake. And those funds probably will be obligated this year. So that will probably happen before this UPWP even kicks in. But just for documentation's sake, I wanted to show those. That's about it. We'll be focusing on the plan update. We'll be focusing on the congestion management process update. We'll be focusing on the freight plan update and also the urban flooding model. So those are going to be our main emphasis areas for next year. This is the budget exhibit. This draft that is attached to the agenda today is still a work in progress. We're still working on some Scrivener's things. Before it goes to the Core MPO board next week. After the Core MPO board approves it as the draft, we will then release it formally for comments. So I would encourage those at our review agencies, GDOT and Federal Highway in particular, just wait until after the MPO board version next week. So probably will be at least one more edit on this document.
I've got one quick question for you, Mark, sure, if you don't mind. Under like the special studies, are we still going to do a call for projects in the spring for possible additional studies?
I'd say the question is, it depends. We've certainly got enough requested special studies that are documented in the back. In fact, we added four that were requested by CAT during the call for plans and studies. During our last, one of the things we started doing that's fairly new this year is we started having quarterly coordination calls with our GDOT and Federal Highway planners. And there was some discussion at our last call that I believe Anne-Marie mentioned that we were pretty heavily allocated in terms of our existing staffing. So under the current conditions right now, the answer is maybe not. If, you know, we did at one time have an additional position, if something were to change in terms of our staffing, we're also expecting that some resources will come our way now that the comp plan is basically wrapped up. We may have more staff support from those people, you know, working with the MPO on some things. So, you know, if we get enough resources that we can justify, then we may be able to go after.
Pam, this is Melanie Wilson. The other issue with talking with the folks is that, you know, from a staffing standpoint, I think that we probably have enough to deal with what we've got. I mean, their big issue is they want to see some plans and projects completed before we undertake any new projects. So I think our goal, at least one of my goals working with the staff, is to hopefully get something finished so that we can, you know, show that we are completing projects instead of continuously adding them without having anything done. So that's the other thing that we're trying to balance out as well.
Okay, well, Mark, just as a follow-up to that, both the Stare Out 21 and the 307 corridor studies, those are supposed to wrap up this spring, are they not?
They will wrap up in the first quarter. There is actually not any specific, we have not missed any deadlines on completing any projects, and there's really nothing that's due outstanding that we haven't done. So this is sort of a narrative that I think is coming to us probably from the federal level, but there really aren't any deadlines that are imminent, looming, or missed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Happy to add that.
Are there any other questions for Mark? Or comments about the draft at this time? Wycota has a comment.
As I say, we can't hear her.
No, I just have the question on the transit funding for administration short-range planning. Normally, we roll those together, so now they're separate. So I just want to know, I mean, which ones to be charged to administration, which ones are to the short-range planning?
When you say which ones, what do you mean which ones? What are the ones?
I think probably attending meetings would be for charge to administration, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But like what activities should be charged to the short-range planning?
You're referring to that item he has listed there?
Yeah, and the transit funding.
Well, those would be transit planning activities that are sort of on the same time span as, say, the TIP, as opposed to the long-range plan. One is like about 4 years, the other is like 20 plus years. So depending on which end of that spectrum it falls on.
So for example,
in general, the TDP would be shorter range.
Okay. So if we assist the CAT with TDP development, that would be.
But if you know, one of the things that came up was a BRT study or something like that, that would be more of a long, because of the extensive implementation activities, the time frame is much longer for something like
okay,
that.
Okay.
So those studies would be long.
So we would just charge the meetings to the administration, the regular correspondence. But right. But if it's a special study like TDP or something, right? So right. That's for sure. Okay. Yeah, I just want to make clarification.
Or Wakota, if they ask us to help them with any additional short range projects, you know, they've got several, I'm sure that Kat's on here, so they could probably talk more to what they've got going on. That would be something that should be eligible as well.
Right. But, you know, just to wrap it up for everybody, administration is mostly things we do to run the process, including attending meetings such as this and that type of coordination. Long range planning would be, you know, something beyond typically 5 years, the type of thing that you would see called out in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. CAT frequently updates their TDP. That's more in the short range realm because you're usually dealing with roughly, I think, about 5 year increments. And the TIP, of course, really is corresponding also to that shorter range period of time, but the TIP is a very specific document. But since we're on the subject, the reason that, if you'll recall, last year we just had the transit planning as one budget line item. The reason that it is four is that this is corresponding to the transit grant application that Alicia has been working on. And divvying it up into these tasks is based on advice and direction that she has been receiving working with GDOT.
Thank you, Mark.
So if there are, you know, we'll be happy to answer any other further questions. If there are none, then we will just continue to refine the document. We're dealing with pretty much with some Scrivener's things because, you know, updating this document, there are multiple references to every project and you have to kind of comb through and find them. But, you know, that's the gist of it. We'll probably do one more edit before it goes to the MPO board next week, and then it'll go out for the 30-day review.
Okay. If everybody would please review that, and if you have any comments, if you want to wait till after the MPO board next week meeting, but then if you have any comments, please get those to Mark. Thank you. All right, so we'll move on then to item number five, which is the December amendments to the fiscal year 2021 to 2024 TIP. And that's going to be Alicia, please.
Hi, thank you. If I can share my screen. All right. Can everyone see my screen okay? Is that a yes? Anybody can see my screen?
Not yet. Yes, now we can.
Thank you so much. Okay, so the TIP is our short-range planning document, and it lists all the transportation projects in the metropolitan planning area that use federal, state, and local funding. And then as these projects change, the TIP gets modified to reflect those changes. And so this staff report outlines those proposed amendments. From August through September, the MPO conducted a call for projects for Z230 and CRISA funds. Several of those projects were awarded funding and require an amendment to our TIP. Also in October and November, the MPO received several requests from GDOT and Chatham County proposing updates as well. There are four highway projects and two transit projects that received funding through the call for projects, and that includes the Chevis Road improvement, Girard Avenue improvement, Truman Linear Park Phase 2B, the US 80 corridor study, the CAT fixed route diesel buses, and the CAT bus stop improvement program. And then the remaining proposed amendments include the I-95 at SR-21 Augusta Road interchange, the SR-26 from I-516 to CS-188 Victoria Drive, and I-16 from I-95 to I-516. Then I-516 at CS-1503 Duran Avenue, And last but not least, I-16 at SR-17. I-95 at SR-21 Augusta Road Interchange. GDOT has started the project development process, and that requested us to add a scoping phase in fiscal year 22. For SR-26 from 516 to CS-188 Victory Drive, GDOT made a request for us to move the construction and utility phase from fiscal year 22 to fiscal year 23, with both phases receiving a slight increase in their cost estimates. Then for I-16 from 95 to I-15, there was a request to update the funding source and cost estimates for the construction phase in fiscal year 22. I-516 at Duren, GDOT provided us with an update of the funding source and also an update to their cost estimate for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 22. The Chevis Road, Chatham County made a request for the construction phase to be moved from fiscal year 23 to the long range of fiscal year 25. And the right-of-way phase moved from 22 to fiscal year 23. And this project was also awarded Z230 funds for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 23, and also awarded the CRISA funds for the PE phase in fiscal year 22. For the Girard Avenue improvement, this project was awarded Z230 funds in fiscal year 23 for the right-of-way phase, and also in the fiscal year 24 for the construction phase. I-16 at SR-17, Chatham County made a request for the right-of-way phase to be moved from fiscal year 23 to fiscal year 24, and this request is subject to GDOT concurrence. For Truman Linear, phase 2B, this project was awarded CRISA funds for its construction phase in fiscal year 22. And for the US 80 corridor study, this was also awarded CRISA funds for the PE phase in fiscal year 22. Throughout the rest of the document, you can see the old and new project pages showing the proposed TIP amendments. We also have an appendix at the end, which appendix A will include all the updated TIP project pages. B is the public notice for the review and comment of the proposed TIP amendments. And something new we've included to encourage public comment is the option for people to text their comments in. And then appendix C is a summarization of all the calls for projects. And the TIP amendment request form, the TIP amendment request from project sponsors are listed in appendix D. And then the addendum for the 2045 MTP is provided in appendix E. So that's all out there for your review, and staff is recommending to endorse these December TIP amendments. Does anybody have any questions?
Alicia, I just have one, and I'll double check. I didn't look through all the appendices, so it could be that there's an explanation in there somewhere. When I was looking through here, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to email you because I just looked at it earlier today, but it looked like where you had the TIP amendments listed out with the comments, it didn't seem like the numbers for on Girard Avenue, there was a little bit of discrepancy between that and what was shown on the project page. So I'll verify that again and send you an email specifically about that after.
Okay, yeah, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I will also comment on something, because I think when county requested the Girard Avenue to be moved from 2023 to 2024, that the request is actually to request to move the project with the funds, move the funds with the project as well. Because it already has the allocated Z301 funds. I think the GDOT, several years ago, GDOT implemented this new policy. So we have to balance each year. So if your project doesn't make that fiscal year, you just have to leave that money over there. So I know that you sent the letter to GDOT, so we would like to get the concurrence from GDOT before we finalize the amendments.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was Garrard though.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Garrard, we were leaving the money and changing like from right away to construction or something like that.
Yeah, we need a confirmative answer from GDOT that it is okay. Yeah, because previously we have the project that cannot make this fiscal year, and then it's rolled over to the next year with the money, and the GDOT decided several years ago they stopped that process. So if your project can move, you lose that money in that fiscal year. So but we did for the DLSAPs, I think also for Project Durain, we did request to move the money with the project to the next year, and GDOT said okay, but this time we also need confirmation from GDOT.
I sent a letter. Ned, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Have you gotten any kind of response, or have you been able to get anything to Wicota on those?
I thought I sent an email. We were told it was okay by OFM, so.
What?
I'm sorry. Can you?
I'm sorry. I thought I sent an email. We were told it was okay by our Office of Financial Management. They said it was okay to do what you were requesting. So I thought I had sent you guys an email. I'm not sure if you got it, but.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't think I did. Thank
you. Yes, we did get the email that says okay, but we didn't receive the official letter.
Okay. Okay. I'll get it to you.
Yeah. Would you please give us an official letter so that we can document it? Because okay. I mean, one of those we also requesting to move the construction funds to the right of way phase, right? So we would like to get confirmation on those before we finalize the TIP amendments.
Okay.
Official letter would be okay. Great. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments for Alicia about the TIP amendments? All right, at this time, I will request a motion to endorse the TIP amendments with any minor financial modifications that are needed just to balance everything and make it correct. But otherwise, everything as it is. Let me restate. request a motion to endorse the TIP amendments for December.
So moved with allowing minor adjustments for balancing everything out.
Thank you, Melanie. Can I get a second?
I second.
Thank you, Shalonda. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any noes? All right, motion passes. Let's move on to the 2022 safety performance management targets. Alicia.
Thank you. I'm getting my screen updated for you. Let me know if you can see my screen.
We can.
All right, thank you. So safety performance management as defined by FHWA is a strategic approach that uses system information to make investment and policy decisions to achieve a national performance goals. Screen move. Okay. So FHWA requires DOTs to set safety performance management targets annually. So they measure and improve transportation system performance. And in coordination with DOTs and transit operators, MPOs will track performance measures and set targets for those measures. Projects are prioritized based on performance, and MPOs update the TIP and MTP to reflect a performance-based planning process. Along with the development of a system performance report to document this progress. Performance-based planning programming enables DOTs and MPOs and transit operators to efficiently allocate resources and maximize the return on investment in order to achieve a desired performance outcome for the multimodal transportation system while increasing the accountability and transparency to the public. So safety performance measures, those are set by FHWA, and they are quantifiable indicators used to gauge performance or conditions, whereas safety performance targets are set by DOTs and MPOs, and those are targets that are quantifiable levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. There are a total of 5 safety performance measures: number of fatalities, rate of fatalities, number of serious injuries, the rate of serious injuries, and then number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. So these are the updated state targets to maintain the 5-year rolling average from 2018 to 2022. The serious injury and serious injury rate are impacted by recent updates to the state's crash report. So in a few years, the injury targets will move towards a more appropriate measure based on the new definition. We'll see that moving forward. So as an overview of the whole process, state DOTs set targets annually, and their progress is assessed by FHWA. And the DOTs share those targets with MPOs, and then MPOs can either adopt those targets, set their own targets, or do a combination of both. And then MPOs will have until February 27th each year to adopt their performance management safety targets. The MPO targets are not assessed annually, but they are reviewed by FHWA as part of an ongoing transportation planning process review, like during our TMA certification review. So in coordination with GDOT, staff agrees to support the state adopted targets. So today we are asking the members to accept and endorse these safety targets for the core MPO planning area for the planning and program activities. So does anybody have any questions?
Well, Alicia, would you mind going back to the page that showed the rolling average, please?
Let's see.
Thank you. I was just kind of curious to see if they were going up or going down. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions or comments? All right, at this time, I will request a motion to endorse the we're going with the GDOT numbers, right, Alicia?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I'll request a motion to endorse GDOT's safety performance targets for 2022.
Motion.
Who is that, please?
Hey, this is Michael from Chatham Area Transit. I'd like to make the motion, please, to accept the numbers as presented.
Thank you. And a second?
This is Mark. I'll second.
All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any no's? Motion passes.
Thank you so much.
And that's it for the action items. Moving on to, I don't think we have any other business. Do we have any other business? I don't see anyone else here. I'll give everybody a second in case there's anything. Any comments?
Could we go back to the agenda instead of Alicia's screen?
Thank you. Okay. All right, no other business. Moving to the status reports then. I guess the first one up is the State Route 21 Access Management Study update.
Is Amy on the call? I think Amy needs to share her screen.
Yes, oh, can you hear me now? Sorry. Okay, no problem. I was trying to unmute and it went back on mute. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah. Can you try to keep it to about 10 minutes or so, please?
Yes. Can I share my screen?
Okay, hang on.
We also have a PDF of her slides attached to the agenda if there's a screen sharing issue.
Okay, let's see. Can you all see the PowerPoint now?
What was that you said, Julie?
We need you to, Amy, we need you to accept being a presenter. Oh, okay. I think they're going to try to handle it on this end.
Okay. It says that it's showing the screen. I'm not sure if you all can see it.
Yeah, just maximum.
Oh, there you go.
Is it showing now?
We see a blue Windows screen.
Oh, it might be. I have multiple screens up. Let me move it over.
Now we have shortcuts.
Interesting. Okay.
We're looking at your desktop, it looks like.
Okay, I'm trying to move it over. It's probably on the other window. Sorry, guys, I never shared in a GoToWebinar. Can you see the PowerPoint now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to hit present mode. Can you see it in the present form now?
You need to start the slideshow or resume it.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe if I go to screen two. Okay. Everything's good now?
Yes, perfect.
Perfect. Okay, sorry. And I'm going to keep it brief. There are quite a few slides, but I just wanted to touch some of the high levels of where we are with the State Route 21 Access Management Study. My name is Amy Turner. I am the project manager for Croix Engineering. I've been working with Mark Wilkes as well as Scott Robidaire with Garden City. So thank you all for this opportunity today. Like I said, I'm going to go briefly over where we are, some of the goals of the studies, the needs and opportunities recap, and then where we are with the recommendations and the next steps in our schedule. The screen. Okay, here we go. So step purpose and goals, when we were brought on for the study, some of the things that were the issues for the purpose of the study was the high crash rate along State Route 21. But upon further analysis, it was roughly 25% higher than the statewide average for a principal arterial such as State Route 21. So that was a major issue. Another concern was the actual severity of those crashes and the number of pedestrian crashes along State Route 21 in this corridor, particularly towards the southern end. There was a total of 13 pedestrian crashes over the past 5 years. In terms of access management, there are several commercial driveways and which presents a lot of conflict points, which introduce another contributing factor to the number of crashes along the corridor. There are sidewalks along both sides of the roads for some segments, but the condition of them are deteriorating in some areas. For as you go north along State Route 21, there aren't as many pedestrian or bicycle facilities. Traffic congestion, especially with the railroad crossing headed towards the port. There's a lot of switching going on that causes queuing throughout the day. And then also the new Groves K-12 campus is being constructed at the current Groves High School location on State Route 21. So all of that is influencing and impacting the needs for improvements along the corridor, improving safety, as well as alternative options for transportation, bike pit infrastructure, transit opportunities, and overall promoting economic development and improving the quality of life for the citizens. Corridor highlights, the study was conducted along State Route 21 from State Route 25 to Grange Road. Some of the key features of the corridor, it provides direct access to 516. And as you head north on 21, you will access I-95. It parallels the port to the east, and there is a significant amount of freight traffic in the area. It's historically a retail corridor, so you can see a lot of single-use land buildings along the corridor, all having either 2 to 3 individual driveways for each of these parcels, significant crash experience, as I had mentioned previously, and then the new school as well. Some of the things that we've accomplished thus far in the study, we kicked it off back in April. We did conduct the road safety audit with members from the core MPO, GDOT, as well as Bike Walk Savannah and some of our team members and representatives from the GDOT's district office. We concluded our existing conditions and needs assessment. On our first round of public engagement, we did have a public meeting. We received over 61 responses to the online survey, which is very informative about what the citizens saw as some of those key needs along the corridor and what they really envisioned for State Route 21 in this area. From there, we were able to do the needs and opportunities assessment and prepare the draft of recommendations. And our final step where we are right now is hosting our second public meeting, which will be tonight actually. And we will finalize some of the cost estimates from the projects that we have drafted and begin our funding and implementation strategy, the final report and the presentations to the board and Garden City Council. And I'm going to just jump through a couple of these slides. So our needs and opportunities recap, as I mentioned, a lot of safety issues along the corridor. Particularly alarming, as I mentioned, was the number of pedestrian crashes in this area, especially considering the construction of the new school here. That's something, safety was a very big priority for our goals along the corridor. So we took a closer look at what those crashes, how they occurred, what happened, as well as a lot of the rear end crashes in the area and other crashes that resulted in more severe injuries. In terms of operations, there was a lot less than desirable levels of service at the unsignalized intersections because the cross section is 3 lanes in each direction between Minus and Smith Avenue. People crossing from those side streets, they would have to do a 2-stage crossing to go in the opposite direction. So they would have to clear the 3 lanes on their side, get into the center to a left turn lane to continue either northbound or southbound on State Route 21. We heard a lot of feedback about the railroad crossing and that causing queuing when the rail cars are switching throughout the day. Multimodal facilities, as I mentioned, just a lack of ADA compliance. Some of the conditions are deteriorating, the need for improvements to make it more inviting. The same with streetscaping. There's a lot to be desired in terms of making the corridor more inviting versus a corridor that you just drive through. We really wanted to make this section a destination for people to come and visit, to patronize, to visit the local facilities and the parks along the corridor. And opportunities for economic development as well. Access management, we did a driveway density analysis, looking at the number of driveways per mile, the number of access points per mile. It was quite high by access management standards and the ITE national manuals related to it. And we really took a closer look at how do we reduce those conflict points and how do we potentially consolidate some of those driveways with some of the recommendations that we make. So as I mentioned, safety was a big priority. So we wanted to do a data-driven approach, looking at how the different improvements we made a reduction in the crash experience along the corridor, as well as the severity of the crashes. So some of the elements that we consider and plan to include in the recommendations are traffic calming mechanisms, the installation of a raised medians along the corridor, different access management strategies, for instance, as redevelopment occurs, consolidating some of the driveways, creating actual driveways. There are a couple of parcels along the corridor that there was just a continuous driveway fronting their entire parcel, and people were coming in and out, which presented a safety and operational concern. With the medians, it presented an opportunity to also be a pedestrian refuge for pedestrians crossing State Route 21. Operational improvements, we saw a lot of benefit in safety improvements, including alternative traffic control, so locations to place R-cuts at the signalized intersections, upgrading signal equipment, the retroreflective back plates, making these crossings more visible, adding leading pedestrian intervals, prioritizing crossing at the signalized intersections, and then also freight signal priority. GDOT, they're creating pilot programs, particularly on State Route 307 and other corridors in the area, to prioritize freight at the signal. So we saw it as an opportunity to have that conversation with GDOT about what can be done for the signals along State Route 21 as well. And I'm going to skip through a couple of these. Multimodal improvements, a continuous sidewalk and multi-use paths along the corridor, introducing the bike infrastructure, the East Coast Greenway, Coastal Greenway. It does run along sections of State Route 21. So we really wanted to take advantage of that opportunity and make those type of improvements as well. And then I'm going to go to the specific intersection improvements. So we identified those key intersections where we felt like different type of turn lane improvements, signal equipment upgrades would make the most sense based on the operations and the crash experience at those locations. With the consolidation of Mercer Middle School, Groves High School, and the overall K through 12 campus, the school zone would be shifting some. So we wanted to explore opportunities for school zone improvements with SCCPS. And then also through our conversations with CATS, they also had a program looking at expanding transit north of Brampton Road on State Route 21, which is currently not there. So we identified stops at locations that we felt like there would generate a lot of transit users in those eastern and western communities along State Route 21. Overall, our recommendations, a draft of our recommendations for the corridor included signal retiming and coordination, as well as equipment upgrades, installing raised median segments along the corridor. For the middle segment, which was our priority segment, between Minus Avenue and Smith Avenue, we wanted to include a multi-use path along both sides of the corridor. And then as you continue north, given the right-of-way constraints and the land uses along this side, it would shift to the eastern side only and continue up to Grange Road. A lot of the bike ped recommendations we made, they were included in previous studies that we had reviewed. And then also something that we looked at is what we could do within the existing right-of-way. Luckily for this corridor, that there is a wide cross-section of right-of-way along State Route 21. So when we started preparing the concepts, there was a lot of room to work with in terms of designing a typical section that is truly a complete street and has those multimodal aspects. Here are the proposed typical sections. As I mentioned, the multi-use path on both sides along State Route 21 from Minus to Smith. South of Minus, there would be along the western side to give access to these communities south of Minus, and then the same north of Smith Avenue. It would run along the eastern side, and the thought process of that is that the Coastal Greenway continues north along the eastern side. So we saw it as an opportunity to build on the long range plan of bicycle and pedestrian improvements associated with the Coastal Greenway. For the typical section, we looked at two options, the landscape medians and buffers, and then also the stamped concrete. So those are still going into the online survey and the public input about what their priorities are in terms of maintenance and the visual appeal of those types of improvements. And here's a conceptual rendering. This is State Route 21, just south of Facility Thomas Way as it is right now. So you can see a lot of asphalt, three lanes in each direction with the center two-way left turn lane, sidewalk facilities. And then with those improvements, here's a rendering that we're working on currently of what it would look like with the widened multi-use paths along the sides, those median segments to offer access management, as well as softening the road to make it more a more pleasant and inviting corridor for people visiting Garden City. And then just the benefits of the recommendations, as I had discussed previously, reducing conflict movements, the likelihood of crashes, the severity of crashes, enhancing multimodal options, as well as improving connectivity and access to area destinations. And as we completed the assessment, we wanted to make sure that they all were in line with the overall study goals, as we had discussed earlier. In terms of access management benefits, which was the priority for this study, on average over the past 5 years, the total cost of crashes averaged about $4.8 million per year along State Route 21 in the study area. And then what we were able to realize was,
Could you try to wrap it up here for me?
Yeah, this is the last slide, sorry. And then this is just some findings of what can be realized in terms of crash cost savings, as well as fuel savings and lost time savings with the recommendations. So where we are right now, we're wrapping up the project, prioritizing the projects and the final report. We have our public meeting tonight, and then our online survey is active. And we will conclude it late January and get that information over to the Corp MPO. That's all. Thank you.
And for those MPO aficionados, the meeting tonight is being held in conjunction with the CAC meeting right here.
What's my next question? Where is it at? Here?
Well, it's going to be run from this room, but it'll have the virtual component just like this meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, good luck with the public meeting tonight.
It'll be 6 o'clock.
Okay, 6 o'clock. Okay. So if anybody's interested in that, they just go to the website.
If anyone's interested in that, they would simply register for the CAC meeting, would be the easiest way.
Okay, that's through the MPO website.
Right. We're hopeful that we'll dispense with the action agenda by roughly 6 o'clock. If need be, we could adjourn from that to allow the meeting to take place and then return to the regular agenda.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so the next one is the 307 corridor study. Who's
Chris Marsfield?
Chris, are you on?
Now, I'm unmuted now.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I think that
yeah,
I had to be unmuted. Please. Yeah, okay. Can I take control?
Hang on just a second. We're working on it.
Okay, so you should have my screen now.
Yes, thanks.
All right. Well, my name is Chris Marsingill. I'm with Kimley Horn and Associates, and we are working on the State Route 307 corridor study. I will be very brief, give you a quick presentation, abbreviated presentation from what was included in the agenda packet. Quickly, what I want to cover today is sort of a review of our existing conditions and findings, and also discuss some of our study alternatives that we've identified. The project corridor extends from State Route 25 Ogeechee Road in the south, 8.5 miles to State Route 25 again, which is Ocean Highway on the north end of the project, directly across from the Georgia Ports Authority's Gate 4 at the Garden City Terminal. There are 27 intersections along the corridor that we have studied. and have results for from an existing conditions perspective. We broke the corridor into six unique segments to manage the analysis and recommendations for the corridor, and those are identified on the left side of your screen. These segments are unique in existing typical section, traffic conditions, areas that they serve, potential for growth, and the truck percentages and mix of traffic along the corridor. A real quick summary of some of the traffic conditions that we've seen along the corridor are identified on this screen. On the left, we have the AM peak hour, and on the right, we have the PM peak hour. Each of the 27 intersections that we've studied are identified with dots along the corridor, and we have separated those into red, yellow, and green. Red indicates a failing level of service from a traffic operations perspective, and yellow is a level of service D to E, which are acceptable but approaching a failing level of service, and then a green dot represents an acceptable level of service. Again, these are existing conditions along the corridor, and we've also identified some field observations on these maps, which are the numbers in squares. Uniquely or interestingly, in the AM, we identified some queuing concerns at the State Route 25 Ogeechee Road intersection, also at the I-16 eastbound off-ramp to Dean Forest Road, which anybody that travels the corridor is well aware of that, and then some queuing approaching the interchange at I-16. Also some significant queuing on US 80 or State Route 26 and US 80, both in the AM and in the PM. Probably a little more drastic eastbound in the AM and more drastic southbound in the PM. And then some extensive queuing southbound at State Route 21 in the AM, and also some eastbound queuing at that location in the AM. The PM peak, all directions of the intersection of State Route 21 showed extensive queuing. So just a quick overview of some of the existing traffic conditions, both from an analysis perspective, as well as observed field conditions. Similar to the State Route 21 corridor, the corridor, the State Route 307 corridor, exhibits a very high crash rate. We are actually 125% higher than the statewide average for a similar type of facility. So I have a series of numbers here to help identify from different perspectives. 1,500 total crashes from the period of 2015 to 2019, 2019 being the last recorded year of crashes that's been tabulated and is available for analysis. Of those, 9 fatal accidents, 330 non-fatal injury crashes. And if you're talking speaking in terms of cost, that's coming at a cost of about $28.8 million per year. So these numbers quickly present the case for the need for safety investment along the corridor. This heat map identifies the areas in which we're seeing the most crashes. Pretty obvious, so I won't go into this into too much detail, but suffice to say that red is bad from a crash perspective. We also took a look at existing pedestrian and bicycle conditions along the corridor, or provisions for pedestrians and bicycles, and also demand for pedestrian and bicycle along the corridor. There is some existing bike shoulder on the southern section of the project, and there are some existing pedestrian facilities on the southern section of the project. All of the existing signalized intersections along the corridor include pedestrian accommodations. However, the corridor itself north of I-16 does not include pedestrian facilities or bicycle facilities. While the core MPO non-motorized transportation plan recommends a shared use path trail along the entire corridor. So we did identify some need for pedestrian and bicycle improvements, and that is reflected in the core MPO non-motorized transportation plan. There's no existing transit stops along the State Route 307 corridor. That is largely in part due to the fact that the corridor is outside of the transit district. CAT Route 3 does use a small segment of the corridor on the north end to access two stops within the airport property, but there are no stops along State Route 307. In some discussions with business owners and with CAT, it became apparent that there is latent demand for transit, specifically related to some of the warehouse developments where the employees would benefit from more economical transportation options. So from a freight perspective, State Route 307, I-16, State Route 26, and Jimmy Deluxe Parkway are all major truck corridors. Obviously, 307 is the study corridor, but the other three intersect the study corridor, as do five existing rail crossings. So you see freight moving by truck in high volumes and freight moving by rail in high volumes along the corridor. And this is obviously interspersed with commuter traffic and with some pedestrian demand. A quick summary of the improvements that we've identified along the corridor include to reduce the mixing of cars, trains, and freight trucks. Also, some intersection improvements have been identified to better accommodate freight movement. Access management strategies should be explored to reduce crash frequency, and specifically access management that eliminates or reduces the number of conflicts between vehicles and pedestrians, and between vehicles and vehicles, of course. I mentioned a latent demand for pedestrian and bicycle facilities and also for transit facilities. That's something that we will be making some recommendations for as part of the study. So we've divided our recommendations into two categories. Those are short-term and long-term. The short-term recommendations are between now and 5 years out, and the long-term recommendations are basically greater than 5 years out. So in the short-term category, we will be recommending some major intersection improvements at State Route 26 and US 80, and that's auxiliary lanes, a new signal at Jamaica Run Road, a new signal at Morgan Industrial Boulevard, and then the State Route 21 presentation identified the freight signal priority pilot project that GDOT is implementing that will be along State Route 21 and State Route 307. Any major intersection improvements that we take on as, or we recommend, would include an expansion of the freight connected vehicle network. As new development projects are coming online along the corridor, we would want to plan those such that they complement a future raised median throughout the corridor, and also any innovative intersections that would be implemented as part of that raised median corridor. I mentioned that the corridor is not in the transit district. So in the short term, we're recommending some transit expansion strategies to figure out how to get over that hurdle of the transit district. So in the long-term category, we have some major grade separations and interchanges. Some of these may be obvious. Some of them may come as a surprise. We are recommending an interchange at the intersection of State Route 26, US 80, and State Route 307. Also, a grade separation of State Route 307 over the Norfolk Southern Railroad, which is just to the north and east of Robert B. Miller. And also, a new interchange at State Route 307 over the CSX Railroad and State Route 21, Augusta Road, near the north end of the project. In access control strategies category, I mentioned the implementation of a raised median along the corridor where none exists today, and that would be primarily north of I-16. And as a raised median project is implemented, we would also implement bike and ped improvements at that time, as well as innovative intersections with some restricted access to minimize the number of conflicts along the corridor. We've identified two priorities within the access control recommendation, and those are identified there on the screen. I won't bother to read those to you, but if funding is such that they can be done at the same time, that would be great. But if it is not, then we're making a recommendation for how that should be split out and which should be done first. Sidewalk and shared use path from State Route 25, Ogeechee Road to Landfill Road is a recommended pedestrian improvement, as is a shared use path from Landfill Road to I-16. So this is the area south of I-16 where an existing raised median exists and some sidewalk exists. The recommendations for a long-term project south of I-16 would be to complete the pedestrian network and also to add the shared use path as identified with these limits. And then on the north end of the project, adding sidewalks from State Route 21, Augusta Road ramps, which would be part of the new interchange to State Route 25 Ocean Highway, would complete the pedestrian and path network for the entire corridor. And the final long-term recommendation would be transit expansion along the State Route 307 corridor. The idea here being that in the long term, the hurdle of the transit district issue may have been overcome. Next steps, we'll be conducting some additional community outreach with businesses. We have one final meeting remaining of our stakeholder advisory committee. Following the wrap up of those, we'll finalize our alternatives and estimates. There is currently a survey, an online survey open that was launched concurrently with our public information open house earlier this week. And as we wrap up that survey, we'll be able to incorporate additional comments from the community. And we'll be conducting another round of MPO presentations in February. And that presentation will include the draft report. Following those presentations, we anticipate an update and revision cycle, and then we will be delivering the final report the end of the first quarter. Again, very brief presentation of the material that was included in the agenda. This is my contact information. I'm glad to take any questions via email or telephone. And that's all I have, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Or Chris, sorry. Thank you, Chris. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, sounds good. And the PIOH went well, I thought. Chris, did you have all three of those grade separations shown on those displays at the PIOH?
We do. Yes, oh, okay. And those.
I think I missed one.
Okay. Those PIOH, it's probably the probably the Norfolk Southern grade separation. It's a little less interesting than the other two, if you will.
Oops, sorry. And we'll move on to the information reports. The first one will be from GDOT.
Hey, this is Katie. Are you going to pull it up from the agenda?
Yeah, they're working on it right now.
Okay.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I opened up your report now. Not showing?
It is. I can see it.
Oh. Okay.
Katie, can you see it?
I can't, but I have it, so I can just go. Okay, so real quick, 1 and 2 bridge replacements in Port Wentworth on State Road 25 at Savannah River and Middle River. The next milestone is notice to proceed for preliminary design and is anticipated in January. Number 3, State Road 204 from 21 to Rio Road is anticipating NTP for environmental and survey in mid-June and PFPR in September 22. Number 4 is I-16 at Chatham Parkway. The next milestone is FFPR. It's anticipated to be requested in February.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just keep going or wait?
You can just keep going. Thank you.
Okay. 5 and 6 bridge replacements on State Road 404, US 17 at Back River, and widening on 404. Both of these are still in concept and we're working toward approval. There we are. Number 7. Okay, so State Route 26 US 80 bridge replacement at Bull River. This schedule is now approved As of December the 6th, the environmental and preliminary design is continuing as before. Plans to shift the right-of-way funding for FY22 to 23. Lazaretta Creek Bridge approved schedule PFPR was held in October. Environmental field work is ongoing. Right-of-way plans are expected in early 22. Right-of-way in 23 is not anticipated to shift at this time. Number 9, State Route 26 widening from I-516 to Victory Drive. Right-of-way is ongoing, and we're currently waiting on the NTP for the design contract, which is expected next week. 10, widening of Brampton from State Route 21 to 21 Spur, scheduled to let in January. And as for active construction, I'll continue to progress. There's no new projects that have been added. I did receive some info on projects 10 and 11 since that this report was submitted. Line 10, I-16 from I-95 to I-516, the construction is now 26% complete. And line 11, the divergent diamond is 5% complete at this time. Any questions?
Maybe I'm missing it. Is the Effingham Parkway on here?
Effingham. I don't see Effingham Parkway. No, it's not here. It should be under
Yeah, that would be Effingham County, I would think. Do you know the status on that one, Katie?
I'm flipping through. Which one would it?
They held a ceremony for starting the construction, I think.
Two lane, okay, on Effingham Parkway, beginning State Road 30 and extending to Blue Jay Road and construction. Bridges approaches. Sorry, I don't have the start date in front of me. But it has moved to the active projects. I can see that.
Do you know if they've got notice to proceed?
I don't. I can find it for you, though.
Okay, just curious. Thank you.
I missed the US 80, the two US 80 bridges.
Yeah, okay.
The schedules have been approved.
So Bull River is the one that you were most concerned about.
Was asking that question.
Right. So the schedule has been approved on December the 6th, and plans to shift right-of-way funding from FY22 to 23. That was in the comments, that they do have plans to shift. And I know there was an email sent to Tybee about that.
Yeah, because we have HIP funds. So the HIP funds have a deadline. So we want to make sure we don't miss the deadline. Yeah.
So they are planning to shift. So you know more about what to do with that than I do.
Do you know what the deadline is for that, Waikato?
I think it's September 2023. That was the deadline for obligation of the funds.
So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, so we just have to see. But if the schedule has been approved, we haven't received the TIP amendment request yet. We didn't, right?
It looks like they just approved the schedule just a couple of days ago.
Okay, so we probably would just receive the TIP amendment in February, for February processing, maybe.
Right. So, yeah, so their schedule was approved December the 6th. And then is this how the schedule will Tybee request for it, that it is shifted?
No, it just, I think Tybee just wants to know the status. So we know.
Okay.
The status was the schedule was waiting for approval. But now, since the schedule has been approved in 2023, we just make sure that the HIP funds don't lapse. We just have to make sure that we'll have the funds obligated.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Katie? Okay. Thank you, Katie. Moving on to the county projects. Hopefully everybody's got the handout or has access to it. So I won't read all of them. All of the first three, all the federally funded projects are somewhere in the vicinity of PFA or notice to proceed, just getting started on those. So they're all kind of long range. The local projects, let's see, Quaco is probably the most interesting. Clearing, we're going to put out a clearing contract for the phase two section after the first of the year. We should be starting on right away acquisition on Little Neck. And the Islands Expressway at Oatland Island, that project will probably go out for bid after the first of the year. Just waiting for final permits, environmental permits on that one. And everything else is going to be sometime next year. The last one, Robert McCorkle Trail upgrades, that one has been let, and we'll probably give them notice to proceed to get started after the first of the year. Are there any questions?
Where's the Robert McCorkle Trail?
It's McCorkle Trail's out on Wilmington Island.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you.
Does it go all the way to Tybee Road?
Well, you say Tybee Road. It goes down kind of down portions of Wilmington Island Road. It goes down portions of Wall Tower and a little bit on Johnny Mercer Boulevard as well.
I'm just thinking of the part where Johnny Mercer ties into Tybee Road on the east end.
To 80. Yeah, up there. Yes, it does.
Well, the reason I ask is a question arose about a development proposal that actually needed that right of way for access to their proposal.
Yeah.
So that's a conflict.
Yeah, there's, I think there's one place where they're going to let them build a road and they're next to the trail or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. For access purposes. Okay, let's see who's next on the list would be
City of Savannah, I think.
City of Savannah.
Michelle,
this is Steve Henry. How's everybody?
Hey, Steve. We're good.
Good afternoon. So I'm dive right back or dive in here. The Lesseps widening project, GDOT has signed the construction agreement. Once we get the agreement for signatures, we'll schedule a pre-construction meeting. Traffic Control Center. We had a plan worked out with GDOT. I was going to use one of their contracts for assistance for writing an RFP. Get that out. I'm going to have to pivot on that. Turned out, found out today I couldn't use their contract. So we're going to, the plan is get RFP out in January to get rolling on our traffic control center and the funding we have placed for fill in the big empty room we have here on the second floor of the new admin building on Interchange Drive. For those that hadn't had an opportunity to come out, we are very liking the new facility. I would invite you to come out for a visit, and especially if you have an interest in seeing the traffic control center space. It's we're excited. City of Savannah, I-16 Duran project. I-516 Duran project, right-of-way plan preparations ongoing, third round of final environmental impact statement, and record of decision responses to comments were sent to Federal Highway and GDOT for review. And Truman Linear Park Trail, phase 2B, GDOT PCE approval was granted. Right-of-way phase will begin.
I did get an email from Christine, I think Christy from GDOT, they were saying the right of way probably will not be ready for the 2022. So yeah, they only have like four parcels to acquire or something, right? So yeah, would anybody provide any update on that?
I caught part of that.
Community Park Trail phase 2B. GDOT and the city don't agree with each other on the right of way, like how many months it would take.
Yeah, I'd have to get with Nick Nick, I think Nick is the definitely is the lead on that. I doubt Nick.
Because we have construction funds in fiscal 2022. GDOT is saying that the right of way cannot be certified before that.
Well, I guess we'll just
have to follow up with you, Wakota.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you just please let us know? Because the city insists that they can get the right of way done before.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this last time with Leon, and he was talking about there was only one private parcel, I thought, and the other ones were owned by either like the city or the county or somebody.
Yeah, I received the email probably 1 week ago from GDOT insisting that. Yeah. So yeah, just keep us posted on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Kat.
Hello. The project status report that we have, I'm just going to highlight a few changes. Item number one, we're postponing the electric bus purchase. Instead, we will be bringing before the CAT board this month the request to issue an RFP for the electrification plan. So we're doing that instead. So that will be delayed. Item number four, the ITS system project. It did not happen in early December, but we are hopeful that the first quarter of calendar year 22 that we will be able to launch that. And number eight, the ferry boat maintenance and facility project. This project is still delayed pending partner coordination. We have made some progress and we're very excited about construction of two new ferries that are coming aboard, but this project is still delayed. Everything else is reflected on our list.
Thank you. Do you have anyone have any questions? Okay, next up on the list is LATS, Low Country, sorry. Is Stephanie on? No? Okay, so I guess this is just kind of for information?
Yeah, this is for information.
Can you put that back for a second?
Oh, okay, hold on.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
And last is the TIP project tracking for December.
The TIP project tracking, I just want to, this is so tiny, but to look at the red are the ones that we are processing the TIP amendments. So as soon as the TIP amendments are done in December, so they will be reflected in this table. So we just keep on tracking this to make sure that all the funding on track for being authorized.
And everyone's following up and mm-hmm. sending that in for you?
Yeah, everybody's sending in their information in a timely manner now.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Is there anyone from the public who wants to make a comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, notices the administrative modifications to the fiscal year 21 to 24 TIP. And I think that was mostly for the GDOT. You want to go over that?
Yeah, that was very, very okay. Minor. Yeah, this is for the two bridge projects at Middle River and Savannah River. So minor cost increase. That's it. So basically for administrative modifications, Gina sent us the information and we acknowledge that we received the information and we update the project page and post to the website.
Okay, thank you. And last is the next meeting is going to be February 17th at 2:00. Is that also going to be hybrid, or is that going to be in person? That's going to be hybrid. Okay. It's going to continue to be optional whether you want to come down here and join us at the MPO location or online. All right. Thank you, everyone. If there's no further comments, this meeting is adjourned.